Blog Talk Radio.
This message is for Aaron. This is Stuart from Adrian Berg's radio show. We're waiting for Dr. Duroel to call. We haven't heard from him yet. Please call me back as soon as you get the message. 201-303-6517. Yes, Justine, hi, this is Stuart, Adrian Berg's producer. Good, how are you? So we have your client coming on for 9:30, Dr. Smith. Yeah, do you think it's possible to reach him and see if he can come on a little earlier? Our first guest that is having an issue, and we'd like to get started with him earlier. Like as soon as ASAP? Hello? Dr. Durrell, hi, how are you? Were you unable to call in to the number we gave you? Okay, so okay, good. Let me give you the number you can call in right now. It's 425-292-4... I'm sorry. Take it back. Start from the beginning. I'm giving you my number to call in. Hang on. Try it again. It's from the beginning. 818-739-8957. Thank you.
Trouble, or he didn't have the number?
Hello?
Hello,
can you hear me, Doctor? Hi, Dr. Durrell.
Yep.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, great, great. So we're not on the air yet. We're going to be on the air in a minute. You're going to hear the music. I'm going to introduce the show. I'm going to introduce you. And you have a fabulous background. I can't wait to talk to you. I think this is probably one of the most important shows we'll do just because of the information you've got. I am too, really, because it's so true what you have to say. And actually, most of the time it's obscured instead of stated right outright. So some of the things that I'm going to ask you about is how people should protect themselves, not just from the out-of-pocket spending, but what they can do to make a hospital safer when they go in. All right?
Right. Yes. Critical.
Then at the end of the – we'll have two segments together. I'm sorry. The first one is about 11 minutes, and then in 9 minutes. So we have plenty of time to talk, but we have a lot to get out as well. And at the end of each segment, there'll be some music. I'll try to stop you, but so that you're not over the music. And then we'll start again with the second segment, okay? Now,
no problem.
You've got
Thank
a book
you.
Out. You have a book out?
Yeah.
Do you have a book that you want me?
Yes.
But you know what? This beautiful email doesn't have the name of the book. So give me the name of your book.
Oh. Your Healthcare Playbook. Winning the Game of Modern Medicine.
Okay. Who's the
publisher?
Yep. I'm just writing it down. Who's the publisher?
Yeah, it's Savio Republic with Simon & Schuster.
Right, okay. And just pronounce your name for me again.
Durrell, Dr. Durrell. And also Amazon is where I prefer people go to get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's see, one other question. So I'm sorry, were you about to say something?
I was going to say the book has got many of the facets that I'm going to discuss that you're going to ask me. So I will refer to some things that I talk about in the book that are really valuable about safety, et cetera.
Okay, very good. Are you a hospitalist? I know that you're a fellow.
Yes.
From University of California, but you're good. I think we're going to start with what is a hospitalist. I'm not sure everybody knows that. Okay.
I'm really glad, but remember, I'm the national medical director for a hospitalist company over 19,000 doctors across the U.S. So I'm not just a hospitalist.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. That I'll understand. All right. We're ready to go.
Okay.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold. It's the only show nationally syndicated that deals with issues of aging. But today we're actually going to be dealing with something much more important, and that is your entire health care during the entire life continuum. And because we have so many important guests today, I really don't want to make a big fuss about anything in the news. I want to go right to what is going to be important to you in your life and the life of your family. So let me begin by introducing you to Dr. Dennis Durrell. He is not only a hospitalist, and we're going to talk about what that means, but he is the National Medical Director of Acute Services for IPC Healthcare. And one of the things that he does is he does make hospitals safer for you. Why does he need to do that? Well, he's going to tell you why Hospitals are not necessarily safe, and what you could do about it to take control in your own life. So thank you so much, Dr. Durrell, for being with us. And let's just unpack that word hospitalist. I'm not sure everybody knows what that means.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And hospitalists are a new specialty in medicine. I say new. They actually started now in 1997, so we've been over 20 years, frankly. And when your primary care doctor doesn't go to the hospital, there's a new group of doctors that just takes care of you only in the hospital. And they learn how to use the best science and technology and care and process in the hospital to improve care just in that hospital setting. And then when you go back to your primary care, when you leave the hospital, that hospitalist gives information back to your primary care. And so if you think of your primary care doctor as your head coach, the hospitalist is what I call your interim head coach, the one just when you're in the hospital. And it's a new profession, but it's a very important profession. And as you can imagine, that handoff, that information back to your primary care is a critical part of that process and being safe.
Now, Dr. Durrell is taking leadership in many ways. I'll tell you one of them in a minute. But he also leads 19,000 doctors in hospitals across the country. So this is certainly something that's important to you if you end up in the hospital, and most of us do at the age of most of our listeners. But you ought to get yourself a pencil and paper, because I'd like you to head to Amazon after the show, please, to buy this book. It's called Your Healthcare Playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine. And it's Simon & Schuster, but go to Amazon. This is the doctor's latest book, and I think you're going to need it as a playbook. Look, last year, 4th of July, big surprise, I had an emergency appendectomy. It's not that you have to have all of your ducks in order before you go into a hospital. Sometimes there's an emergency. So let me throw this to you, Dr. Durrell. If we have to go into a hospital, how do we take control? I know you're talking about a lot of patient-centric procedures, but as the patient, what can we do to empower ourselves before we go into a hospital?
Okay, that's a great question. The first thing, you'll notice in my book I use a lot of football analogies. You've got to have a game plan before the game. Okay, that's what a team does. They don't make the game plan right during the game. They prepare that week before. And so even though you don't know when you'll have an emergency, if you've done a couple of things ahead of time, then you're going to be prepared when that happens. And that is, look at your insurance plan. If you have Medicare Advantage, for example, you might have certain hospitals that you can go to that are in your network or out of your network. You might have certain doctors that you would like involved in your care should you have to go in the hospital. So the first thing is make sure you have the right insurance plan with your team and your healthcare team up front. And that way, when you go to the hospital, then you're going to have the right people there and you won't be charged a lot of out-of-network. The second thing is you need to have your health information, at least the medications you're on and your diagnoses and your problems. Now, it'd be nice if it were electronic and you had it on your phone or this or that, but all you have to do is bring your brown bag of medicines and a list of those information and that information. The third thing that is critical is please bring someone. I call it your agent, just like a football player has
okay,
an agent.
Okay, just like the, right, sticking with the metaphor.
Bring your agent. Bring an agent with you who's got your back. It doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be your neighbor, it could be your spouse or your friend. It could be a professional patient advocate. When my wife was in the hospital 2 years ago, I spent every night with her on the sofa bed next to her. Having another set of eyes, what we call eyes in the sky, watching everything, is a key way to stay safe in the hospital. And I talk about in my book that you're more likely to get harmed in a hospital than an NFL game statistically, and that's the truth. 400,000 patients die every year in hospitals from medical errors, and it's very important that you have someone else there that has their eyes on things like when a nurse comes in to give you a new medicine, or they're going to take you down for a test. we see every day in hospitals that these little errors happen and they can turn into big problems. So staying safe is really important.
So speaking here with Dr. Durrell, let me remind you of the book because it is a game plan. And we have to face it. We may very well end up in a hospital. It could be for something very brief, what they call a procedure. I've always heard that an easy procedure is something that somebody else is having. So you're going to want this book, your healthcare playbook, winning the game of modern medicine. Simon & Schuster is the publisher. Dr. Durrell, Dennis Durrell, the author. And Amazon is always the easiest way of buying such wonderful book. And this is the kind of thing that I'm going to call your textbook, your reference book. You'll read it piecemeal, even if right now you don't need to go into a hospital, and I hope you don't. But this is something you do beforehand. So let's get back to this. That's a pretty chilling statistic. You've said that according to Pro Football Logic, the average NFL player has a 4.1% chance of being injured. But if we're in the hospital for 4 days, we have 16%. I mean, and then you just rattled off some really disheartening statistics. Where are the pressure points? Is it sanitation? Is it other patients? I mean, what should we be looking for that are red flags that we may be coming injured or coming into face-to-face with an infection while we're in the hospital? Are there any red flags?
Absolutely, and I go through them all in the book. The first thing is that in a hospital, you have a lot of different doctors coming in, a lot of different professionals. There's a lot of moving parts. It's chaotic and fragmented. You've got to get that head coach in the hospital, that hospitalist, or your primary care if they still go. Make sure you know who's got this in charge of the whole team and identify that doctor. And that doctor is critical to coordinating everyone else. The second thing is you move through the hospital. You go from an ICU to a floor to this floor. Every time that happens, you have a new team often and sometimes a new doctor overnight or over the weekend. What we call a handoff is that handoff of information has to be passed from one to the other, nurses and doctors. When that does not occur or it doesn't occur well, that's when problems happen, what we call fumbles happen. And so when switching doctors on your team, make sure and ask this question: did you talk to my other doctor about my care? I want to make sure that a good handoff happened. That's an important thing. The second thing is that infections kill 100,000 patients a year in hospitals, and most of it is from germs that are on hands of healthcare professionals. When someone comes in the room, don't be afraid to say, please wash your hands. I've read about the risks of infections. And so that's a really critical part. Another thing in hospitals are falls. Falls in patients over 65 can be catastrophic in the hospital. I talk a lot about that. So make sure that when you walk, you have someone with you, you've been cleared to walk on your own, and make sure you have all of that safety and the lights are on in the room, you are familiar with your room, so that you can avoid those falls. So those are some key ways. But if I had to put it in one thing, I would say make sure that you understand your game plan every day, and everyone on your team knows that. And most hospital rooms have a whiteboard now. They write critical information on that whiteboard. When there's something new or a new test, go ahead and have them write it up there so that everyone who walks in knows your game plan. But it is a dangerous place because so many things are happening so fast to so many people.
Well, speaking of happening fast, we're getting to the end of our first segment here, but don't you fear. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to be speaking with Dr. Durrell, the author of this essential book for your shelf, no matter how old you are, your healthcare playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine. We're going to talk a little bit more about the costs, what he calls the out-of-pocket spending. We're going to talk a little bit more about what if it is an emergency and what to do in the emergency room, and a lot more. Don't you go anywhere. This is really the fountain of truth. We'll be back in just a moment.
All of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Fantastic. They're just putting in a commercial right now. I just think it's terrific. And forgive me if I'm not saying much. I think that your information is so important that I'm just letting you go. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. I really want to lay out that this information really vital. It's not just kind of nice to know. So thank you for letting me impart it.
Right, and I'll tell two very quick personal things when we get back. Now, I want to make sure that in this segment you get to say cover what you want. Are there particular aspects of this? I do like this. Oops, you said a few words about it already. I very much like the idea of the emergency room, because that's most people our age who go in, my age, who go in emergency rooms are from falls. So that's an important one. Is there anything else you want me to cover or ask you?
I think we should talk a little bit about some of these new value models of healthcare. I know that's a little sophisticated, but I do think we should talk about them.
No, we'll be good. We'll be good at that. Okay, we are ready, Stuart? Okay, 10 seconds of silence and we're on.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and I have with me Dr. Dennis Durrell. He is the National Medical Director of Acute Services for IPC Healthcare. He's already told you that you need your own health team. He unpacks it and walks you through it completely in his latest book, Your Healthcare Playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine. Of course, Amazon is the place to get it. Simon & Schuster, the publisher. Look, those of you who are my listeners for all these years know that my mom died about 9 years ago, and I'm still unpacking what happened, even though she was 92. I thought it happened too soon. And part of it was, I would say, lack of supervision in a hospital. And then recently I saw my sister-in-law doing exactly what Dr. Durrell said we should be doing. She was the agent. She was the coach. She was the team leader of her father's hospital stay. And boy, did he emerge at age 93 beautifully. So the things that are being suggested here are lifesavers. They're conscience savers for those of us who are caregivers. Just do it. But all of it is part of something that Dr. Durrell calls the new value oriented models, the new value models of healthcare. Frankly, I didn't hear of that. So tell us, what does that mean, and what is it going to do for us in the future?
Well, first of all, just be aware of it. Value is an equation, quality over cost. In healthcare, we used to only think about the highest quality. We were kind of like the Yankees. We had a blank check. We could pay for whatever we wanted.
Right.
We didn't think about cost. However, the new world of healthcare is a little bit like the NFL. There's a salary cap. Cost comes in. And Medicare has some new models where they are rewarding value. So they're looking at not just improved quality, they're looking at reducing cost. Now, when you reduce cost, that can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing too, because whose cost are they reducing? Your care. And so you've got to be careful. There's three kinds of value models today. One's called an ACO, Accountable Care Organization. Another is called bundling. And the other is a patient-centered medical home. And you may be in one of these models if you're in Medicare, and you might not even know it. It's not a bad thing, because if your doctor is doing a good job and doing the right things, it's all great. You can win. But sometimes you know, it could be that they might not give you the care you need, because cost is part of what they get. If they save money, they get to keep some of that. So these models, I think, are good, but you want to be aware that you're in it and make sure your doctor is doing the right thing.
Now, I happen to know that I'm in the medical home of the three. How do I know? Because I keep getting notes from my doctor in Hunterdon Medical Center in New Jersey telling me that that's what it is. But if you don't know,
right,
who do you ask to find out and a little bit of the differences?
That's a very good question. You should get something in the mail from Medicare, and it should come from them saying you're part of an ACO, you're part of BPCI or bundling, or you're part of a patient-centered medical home. But if you're not sure, ask your primary care doctor, and they should know. And when you're in the hospital, ask your head doctor, what I call your hospitalist in or your primary care in the hospital, say, am I part of bundling or part of one of the Medicare projects? And just ask. That way you'll know. Again, I don't think it's a bad thing, but you definitely want to be aware of it because these models are designed to make better care, but also if money is saved, then the doctor's group or the hospital gets to keep the savings. So you just want to make sure that everyone's aligned with the team. And the second thing, so that's a key thing. The second thing is that you need to think about value for yourself. So forget about value for Medicare. More of the care is coming out of your own pocket. So now you need to think about that value equation. You need to think, where can I get the best quality care for the lowest cost? So sometimes in the new models, if you're in Medicare Advantage, for example, you go into a hospital, if someone is not in your network, you're going to get caught with part of that bill or more of the bill than you would have. And I call that oops, that out-of-pocket spending, that's a surprise.
Right, oops. Out-of-pocket spending. Oops. Yes.
Oops. Yeah, that's the
all
oops.
These things
and also
are in the book. I want to tell everybody about the book. I'm so worried that they won't buy it. You got to have this book. And the reason that I need to motivate you is if you're feeling good now, you might not want a book called Your Healthcare Playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine. But you're going to want it as soon as you need it. So have it in on the shelf. And it's Amazon. All right. Now, that was my pitch because I think it's so important, Dr. Terrell. I want to go back while we have time to, you mentioned falls in the hospital. But I want to talk about falls before the hospital. I have read a statistic that emergency rooms have mostly, statistically, more people that have fallen, and that's our age group. What about navigating the emergency room? Now you're in this room, and you don't even know if you're coming or going. You're in pain. Maybe you have your agent or advocate with you. They don't know if they're coming or going. And everybody's moaning, and you have to wait 6 hours. Is there anything we can do to self-advocate in the emergency room?
Well, the best thing to do is when your emergency room doctor comes in, okay, when that doctor comes in, they're going to be in and out quickly. So you've got to get their attention, and you tell them what's most important to you at that moment. And if they seem like they're not interested, I ask you to just do your hands like a T and go time out. Time out. I've told patients to do it. If they're not listening, tell them what's most important to you at that time. I'm in pain, doctor. I'm afraid of this. I had this issue happen at home. I do not want to do this, or I do not want to do that, or I'm afraid of this. This is what worries me. So the first thing is, if they're not listening to what you're saying, call a timeout. The second thing is, please tell them all the details of your fall or have your agent tell them. Because if you leave out a detail that could be really important, then they might not get a test that you need. And the third thing is if you're going to have surgery, it's really important to make sure that if you have a preference of a surgeon, maybe you've seen an orthopedic doctor in the past, make sure that they know that and make sure that they bring the surgeon that you want in if you've got to have surgery. Because surgery is the last option, but it could be very important.
You know, and one of the things that we talk about is how much time people spend planning their vacation and how little they spend planning their retirement funds. But I'm going to turn this around. Know what hospital you want to go to. Know what hospital you want to go to. As a New Yorker, I can tell you which hospital, mostly the people there have been shot because that's what's going on in the neighborhood. And other ones, they came in because of a skiing accident. So you really want to know what is the most crowded, which are particularly for the emergency rooms. Spend a little bit of time. Now, right now, all I can do is just thank you because this has been one of the most illuminating half hours on our show, I think, that we've ever had. And we have some wonderful opportunities to get, I would say, more proficient in understanding our own healthcare. Your Healthcare Playbook, Winning the Game of Modern Medicine. That's the beginning of it, Amazon. Of course, it's Dr. Durrell, and I just want to tell you that the 19,000 doctors in the hospitals across the country that you lead, they're very lucky. Thank you, Dr. Durrell.
It was absolutely a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Great job. I'm happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my
age. Da-da-da-da. Okay, so that was beautiful. Not even enough time, but we'll do more. Okay. Now, we are not on the air, so I just want to say hello to Dr. Ian Smith.
Hey,
Dr.
how
Smith,
are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay,
I can.
Okay, thank you so much for being on. Beautiful. So we just had a gorgeous half hour. Now we're going to do another gorgeous half hour with you, okay?
Okay.
So I have a little press release here, and I have the book, best-selling book. Now, the new book is Blast the Sugar Out, correct?
Yes, yes.
But you're also the author of Shred, Super Shred, and Shred Power Cleanse.
Yes.
Right? So those are three separate prior books, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So what we're going to do is we have two segments. They both start and end with some music, and I'll introduce you. And the first segment is 11 minutes, and
okay.
So we have plenty of time to talk, okay? And then mm-hmm. at the end of that, you'll hear some music, and we'll go out. But
okay.
It's pretty clear to me what I want to ask about. I want to ask about, I had a lower blood sugar, right?
Okay.
I want to ask about hidden sugars.
Okay.
And some swaps. And you know, basically what people can expect if they do Bless the Sugar Out. But I do want to make sure I cover what you want. Is there anything,
the most
important thing you'd like me to ask you is what?
All those things are great.
Okay, so we're good. We're ready. We're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we need 10 seconds of silence, and we will be introducing you after the music.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the only show that brings you the fountain of truth about aging. And this show I'm going to call Brilliant Doctors Save Your Life Show. And we just had one brilliant doctor, and guess what? We have another brilliant doctor. He's Dr. Ian K. Smith, and you may already have read some of his New York Times best-selling books like Shred, Super Shred, The Shred Power Cleanse. This gentleman is a graduate of Harvard, Columbia, the University of Chicago, Pritzker School of Medicine, which is a school I know very well, extremely impressive education there, and, of course, a fitness enthusiast. But there's a lot more to it. He's got a lot of science behind him, does Dr. Ian Smith. And his latest book is the one I actually want to concentrate on with you, Dr. Smith, today, and that is Blast the Sugar Out. I want to tell you something. Apropos of our meeting today, I looked at how much sugar I had for breakfast, okay? And I had a very well-known diet cereal and a very well-known light yogurt. That's what I had, two things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the label, I had 15 grams of sugar this morning. I don't even like sugar. So this is all hidden to me, and I would like to start with that. Why are we so sugar-infused? Is there a lot of hidden sugar in our diets?
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to the 70s when the craze of taking fat out of food because fat was bad for your heart and other medical conditions, and so we took the fat out of food, made foods more fat-free or low-fat, but what the manufacturers did and what they didn't tell you was that they increased the addition of sugars in the foods. So fat out, sugar in. So yeah, you had low-fat and fat-free foods, but you also had high-sugar foods. And the reason why sugar is so advantageous for manufacturers is because it's addictive. What happens is when you consume sugar, whether it's hidden sugar or you know that you're eating sugar, it doesn't matter. When your body is consuming sugar, it releases a neurotransmitter in your brain, which is a chemical. And the chemical is called dopamine. And dopamine is a happy chemical. It makes you feel good. So the more sugar you eat, the more dopamine you release, the better you feel, and the more you crave that sugar. And then it reaches a point of addiction. So sugar is an addictive substance. In fact, if you look at the MRI scans of the brain of someone who consumes sugar and compare those scans to someone who uses cocaine or heroin, they light up the same areas of the brain, the pleasure-reward pathway in the brain. So, yeah, sugar is addictive, and manufacturers put it in foods because it is addictive, and we like to buy foods with sugar in it because it is addictive, and that's why we have such a problem.
Well, so, you know, of course, these are happy foods that can basically kill you, and we all think that we're eating right. You know, this is a group, Dr. Smith, that it takes good care of themselves, my listeners. That's why they have longevity. But it's difficult if you don't know what's going on. So let me ask you this question. We certainly want to lower our blood sugar, but if it is an addiction, are we going to, can we expect to go through some bad times the way we might if we were giving up a drug?
Great question. Let me say something first before I answer that question. The simple math equation that everyone listening should use is this. Whenever you see a product, like you mentioned the yogurt, so you take a Yoplait yogurt, for example, and it has 18 grams of sugar in it. Always divide that number by 4. That will tell you how many teaspoons of sugar are in a serving for that particular product. So, for example, vitamin water, which is very, people think, oh, vitamin water, it's got to be healthy. It's vitamin water.
Yeah.
But vitamin water, some of them have 32 grams of sugar in one bottle. That's 8 teaspoons of sugar. You mentioned the yogurt. Yoplait yogurt has 18 grams of sugar. That's 4.5 teaspoons. Look at those Clif bars, the bars you see in the brown package with the guy hanging off the mountain. They look very healthy.
Right. Well, everybody who's supposed to be healthy eats them.
That's right. 22 grams of sugar in one of those bars. That's 5 teaspoons of sugar in one small bar that's about 1.5 inches long. So when you look at the sugars, it's in everything, and it's hidden. Pasta sauces, salad dressings. Look at Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran has 18 grams of sugar per serving, and most people eat more than one serving at a time. So the sugars are hidden everywhere. And in my new book, Blast the Sugar Out, I'm trying to teach you about how to find these hidden sugars. And I'm trying to teach you how to make these substitutions. So you asked about the addiction and the withdrawal. So people who stop cold turkey consuming sugar, they tend to go through a withdrawal. And they have headaches, they can have a gastrointestinal or stomach upset, they become lethargic. In my program, I don't stop you cold turkey. I wean you off slowly over 5 weeks. And just so your listeners know, I'm not saying that sugar is completely bad for you. Actually, you need some sugar. Sugar is an important carbohydrate. What I'm saying is we're going to try to reduce the bad sugars on my 5-week plan. So because I wean you off slowly, you don't experience those withdrawal symptoms. You don't have those cravings because your body is slowly acclimating to a new form of eating, a new style of eating that does not include so much sugar. In fact, people lose up to 20 pounds in 5 weeks. They drop their blood sugars by 30%. And so many people have posted in our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group called Sugar Blasters. People should join that. So many people have posted that they try to go back and eat some of the old foods or drink some of the old drinks, and they couldn't do it because it was too sweet.
You know, I have a wonderful opportunity to try this on my own, and I'm going to be reporting on that, Dr. Smith. This is Blast the Sugar Out. That's the name of the book. I want to talk about why 5 weeks in a moment, but I want to point something out. I am not overweight. In fact, I'm pretty much on the target, and I also do a lot of exercise. I'm a long-distance walker. And tomorrow I'm doing 34 miles. Now, 34 miles in one day is a lot. Yeah.
Wow.
With a group. We have a special group. Mm-hmm. But here's what I have to tell you. That's only 270 calories an hour for regular walking. And I will come back, nobody's going to believe it, with having gained a pound. Why? Because I'm going to eat sugar all day long. But I didn't know it until I read Blast the Sugar Out. I thought I was having my Clif bars, my protein bars. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure.
And I was wondering, how am I walking and I'm fatter? Well, this is going to change. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is going to change my life. But I want to ask you, 5 weeks. Now, we know that it takes about 28 days to change a habit if we're really conscientious about it. Is there some magic to the 5 weeks? Is that something that you, because you've actually made it an integral part of your Blast the Sugar Out program?
Yeah, well, it's from my experience, you know, I've written other books, as you know, like Shred and Super Shred. From my and I talk and interact with my with the people who read my book, my followers, all the time. So I really learn from them. So before I put out a book, I always actually test it with hundreds of people on our Facebook group. And they try it, they give me feedback, they'll say, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. And I listen to them because I don't know it all. I'm learning like everybody else. But the length of a program is extremely important when you talk about compliance, that is people sticking to it. And what I've learned is that programs that are 8 weeks and 7 weeks and 12 weeks, those are very difficult for a lot of people. But your sweet spot is in between the 4 and 6 week range. People feel like they can stick to the program. It doesn't seem like it's overwhelming to them or burdensome. And so people tend to be successful. So with this particular program, I tested it with thousands of people, and they all said that 5 weeks was, first of all, something that they felt that they can do very easily. And number two, the results that they got in 5 weeks were phenomenal. And so I thought that 5 weeks was good, and people, you know, like I said, people dropped their blood sugars by 30%. Some people cut their medications in half. They came off of medications. There are 86 million pre-diabetics in the country, by the way. Those are people who
That's
are on the verge
word.
Of diabetes.
I wanted to ask you about diabetes in this program.
Yeah, pre-diabetic. And not, people who are pre-diabetic reversed it on the plan
they
in 5
did.
Weeks. Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the difficulties with being pre-diabetic is you're not always diagnosed. You don't always know that you're pre-diabetic. And if this is something that one can simply do in the course of their life and reverse the potential for diabetes, we have quite a bit of a great future in many ways ahead of us. By the way, folks, we talked about the cost of health care in the first part of this show. If we didn't have any diabetics, the cost of health care would go down tremendously because it's a very, very expensive disease. That
$245 billion.
Yep, but at a cost. So when we come back, what I want to talk to Dr. Smith about is the Blast the Sugar Out. Of course, you know now that that is the name of his book. Also, the Facebook. We're going to talk a little bit more about how you can utilize Facebook and any other resources he has. But I also want to talk about what he calls the swaps. When we come back, what can you use instead of these sugar-infested types of foods and still enjoy life? Because, you know, as he says, it's an up. And we can all use an up, and not everybody can get on a treadmill or walk 34 miles, which is also an up. But sometimes we need it from our food. When we come back, we're going to continue with the fountain of truth. In this case, the fountain of truth about sugar. We'll be right back.
Me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so they're putting a commercial in now, so we're not on a recording. That was fantastic.
Okay, great.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So I do want to talk about the swaps.
Yes, sure.
I do want to talk a little bit more about whether or not, this should be under a physician's care at all if somebody really is obese. I want to ask that question.
Sure.
For me, honestly, I would just do it on my own with the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that's not everybody listening. And I do want to ask you to, Mel, because I saw your picture, so I know for sure that you do exercises and you're a sportsman just by looking.
Yeah.
How important is it to meld them both? So that's something that I hope we'll get a chance to talk about.
Please,
a little
that's an
bit.
Important question.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have 8 minutes and we're ready to go. We just need 10 seconds of silence now.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And I'm going to get right to it. Dr. Ian K. Smith is with us. You may know him from his books Shred, Super Shred, The Shred Power Cleanse. He himself not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. He's a very fit individual. Brilliant doctor, graduate of Harvard, Columbia, the University of Chicago's Pritzker School of Medicine. But he has his latest book, and this is the one that can be really and truly life-changing. It's called Blast the Sugar Out. It just came out this April. He gives you a program, a five-week program, that is really meant to get you out of the addiction of sugar. But if you're going to get out of the addiction of sugar, Dr. Smith, you're going to have to eat something. So I know you've been studying the swaps that can cut down on sugar. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So, you know, people have to realize you don't always need to make dramatic changes to get results. I like to say to my followers, small changes yield big differences. And so the accumulation of small little changes can really matter. And so in the back of the book, in the appendix, page 205, I give you all kinds of simple swaps you can make. For example, if you're someone who's consuming too much soda, and soda is really, really not good for you, as we all know, but if you consume too much soda, I'm not saying to right away eliminate the soda. I'm saying cut in half how much soda you consume. If you drink four bottles or four cans of soda a day, cut it down to two cans, and the other two cans, replace it with seltzer water that you can flavor with either fresh fruit juice or some citrus juice. So soda replaced with seltzer water. Instead of having a bottled salad dressing, there's so much sugar, by the way, in these salad dressings. You can find some that are lower in dressing, but use olive oil, balsamic vinaigrette, and herbs, and make your own. It takes 3 minutes to make your own dressing. In the book, actually, there are a couple recipes for that. Instead of white pasta, choose whole wheat or whole grain pasta. I can assure you, if you've never had whole grain or whole wheat pasta, and you had it and put your sauces on it and all your spices that you typically put with pasta, you can't taste the difference. It is really the same. Instead of chips or pretzels, try to have raw veggies or fruit with hummus. Instead of white baked potatoes, eat sweet baked potatoes. Very, very healthy, very good for you, and much better than white potatoes. If you're having cake, which, you, by the way, you're allowed to have cake, you know, sugar, you're going to have some sugar. I'm realistic about that. But instead of having cake frosting, that's right. Instead of having cake frosting, dust it with some powdered sugar. Instead of jams and jellies, use all fruit spreads. So throughout the back of the book, there are all these different types of swaps that you can do, small swaps that can make a big difference over the long term.
Now, I want to talk about diabetes because you did mention it before. I think most people can do the Blast the Sugar Out program on their own. But with diabetes, usually there is obesity and there sometimes are other issues. This program, should it be done in connection with your physician? And if so, for who? Who's really at risk if they just go and run into this on their own?
Well, let's put this in context. There are 29.1 million type 2 diabetics in the country. There are 86 million pre-diabetics in the country. That means a third of the adult population is somehow touched by diabetes. And in fact, as we age, our risk for developing diabetes actually increases. So a lot of people who are aging, they actually have higher risk for type 2 diabetes. This program, Blast the Sugar Out, is for everyone. It's for diabetics, pre-diabetics, non-diabetics, sugar addicts. It really is built so that everyone can customize it to how they need to. But when it comes to diabetics, you have to be very careful because diabetics are not all the same. They have different triggers, different foods. They respond differently to different foods. And so I say to anyone who has a medical condition, even if you have, you know, kidney disease, celiac disease, always take a program into your doctor or healthcare professional and say, hey, listen, I want to try to go on this plan. What do you think about it? And have them, you know, peruse it for a few minutes. And I got to tell you, the feedback I've gotten from other physicians who specialize in these particular areas of medicine have been phenomenal. Many of them have put them in my book in their waiting room to give to their patients. Because here's one of the issues, by the way, and I tell my colleagues this all the time. One of my concerns is that a patient will go into the doctor. The doctor will say, you have type 2 diabetes or you're pre-diabetic. Change how you eat. Eat less sugar and exercise more. Okay, but what does that mean? You know, to the general population, they don't understand what that means to do. people need an action plan. And that's why I wrote the book the way I did. Every day spelled out for you, or your meals, your snacks, your their options for you, your exercises are in there. Exercises, by the way, that you don't have to go to a gym to do. You can do them right at home. And so I wrote this book largely because I felt like a lot of people out there who really have been given the mandate to change the way that they eat and move, but they haven't been given the set of instructions. And so Blast the Sugar Out is a very simple, very affordable, regular food, by the way. There's pasta, there's pancakes, there's French toast, there's fish, there's chicken. It's all regular food. And in fact, I built it so that families can do it together. So it's not one of those situations where you have to fix a meal for yourself, but then fix something else for the family, because that becomes very expensive and very time consumptive. But this program is really friendly to everybody. But if you are a diabetic, you should always just check and say, hey, can I try this program? And I am very confident your doctor will say, oh, yeah, definitely try this, because many diabetologists, doctors who are specializing in diabetes, have said this is the program to use.
Now, you know, we only have about a minute left to our show, and I want to thank you. But before you go, please tell us again about the Facebook, and if there's any other website that you want to refer us to as a resource.
Sure. We have a great group. We're over 9,000 strong on Facebook. It's called Sugar Blasters. It's a closed group, a very positive group, so you just ask to join and I'll let you in. And you can ask questions and mingle and interact. And all, it's a one-stop place of support and encouragement. So that's one place, Sugar Blasters on Facebook. Our website is shredlife.com, S-H-R-E-D-L-I-F-E.com. And my Twitter is at Dr. Ian Smith, D-R-I-A-N Smith. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, wonderful. And this, again, is the name of the book is Blast the Sugar Out. And, Dr. Smith, let me tell you, this is my joy, to have people like you on. We had Dr. Durrell before, who is a hospitalist, and he's leading 19,000 doctors to give more value and safety to patients in hospitals. You can't get this information anywhere else. The book is fantastic. It's something I'm going to apply and report about because I know it's going to make a difference in my life. And I thank you so much for making a difference in so many people's lives.
If you ever want me to come back on, I'd be very happy to do that.
It would be my pleasure, and we will do that for sure. And for everybody else, look, we have just been talking about life engagement. I'm doing a paper right now on play, the fact that we still as adults need to play. And every week I say one thing to you, and I'm going to say the same thing this time. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Hello?
That was fantastic.
Doctor? Wonderful.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I
love
the
best things
ever.
I love the theme of your show, too, by the way.
I do, too, and I'll be 69 in September. And my walking group is of all ages. And I have to tell you, we have people schlepping behind us who are 30 and people running ahead of us who are 75. So age is a number. That's all.
Could you do me a favor? Could you please continue what you do? Because we need more people like you in the fight who are helping other people and empowering other people. So important.
Yep. Thank you so much. And I
all
can't hang up because I have to do the recording here, but you can and have the best day. Take care.
Happy summer. Take care.
Thank you. You too.